I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Kevin and Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we already warned you. Better watch out.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 738, Renfield.
Perfect.
Dracula 2 would have been...
I don't even care enough.
Dracula 2.
Dracula That's 2. Pretty good. It's a direct sequel to Dracula.
Which one?
Dracula.
Yes,
exactly.
It's like Halloween.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Which one?
Don't get him started.
Here's the deal.
I can save this. Wrestling.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. As a matter of fact.
Perfect. Yeah, great. Great segue.
Phew.
Thanks.
Bullet avoided.
Yes. So let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
Real quick. I was listening to last week's podcast.
Can't even be bothered to introduce himself.
I'll get there.
Okay. Who is this talking?
But you said virtual table while we were sitting around.
Did I say virtual or real table?
Oh, this is Joe.
I'm surprised no one called that out.
No one listens.
That's also true.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Well, you don't know is my table is all digitally rendered.
Yeah, right.
It's all CGI.
Yeah. So, it's just a green screen.
It's a virtual table in person.
It's a cardboard box painted green and we digitally put in.
You know the Patreon?
That's where the fun's going. It's going to green paint. It's all going
Thanks,
to green
patrons.
Paint. Yeah. And joining us via the magic of ZoomTube, he is around a virtual table, at least from our POV. It's James Install from Geek to Me Radio. Hey, James, how's it going?
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Thanks for coming
long
back.
Long-suffering listener.
These guys thought it was only fair. You had to come on for Eternals last time, so.
Well, I'm glad you've come around, Kevin. It's good. I'm glad you've come
on Eternals.
Before we dig in, shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you find a podcast. You can find us while you're there. Be sure and follow us so you never miss an episode. Maybe leave us a review. That's always helpful. You can also find us on the Facebook, facebook.com/RealSpoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. It's called the League of Show Shares because we're hoping you will share an episode. It's the easiest thing you can do to help us out, and we greatly appreciate it. People who were kind enough to do that this week include Lane LeVanway, Ralph Tribble, Tammy Lynn Powers Betts, Phil Timon, Chris Valls, Chris Sanders, Chris Magic Man, the Chris Trifecta
That's
in
right.
play, Julianne Jordan, Gabriel Lugo, Josh Rosen, Dissect That Film, Brent Smith, Heather Sachs, Braid at 1991, Spoiler Piece Theater, Invasion of the Remake, In Session Film, Geek to Me Radio, Ice Screen, You Scream for Podcasts.
That's good. I like that one.
Ronnie Castle, Ryan Terry from the Force Crowd Podcast, Nostalgia Cast, Colby Mack, Matt Niglia, Mike and Oscar, Binge Movies, and Feelin' Films. So thank you very much. We greatly appreciate it. And finally, don't forget we have a Patreon, patreon.com/RealSpoilers, where for $5 you get all sorts of bonus content. And we like you extra.
And we just did, we have Iron Man in the can. Yeah, no pun intended.
So we're starting.
That's a porn parody.
That's a porn parody. Yeah, that's right.
We're going back and covering phase one since the podcast wasn't around for those early films. So the next one coming out will be Iron Man.
Yeah, that's fun. It is crazy to think that we weren't around. Because we've been around for so long.
10 years? 10 years next month?
I know, it's crazy.
10 years
that,
next month.
We missed phase one. Like that's there's a whole thing of Marvel that we didn't cover.
You guys ready for the big celebration, the big 10-year celebration?
Are we getting Dan and Blake back?
I don't know. You know, the first movie I ever wrote a review for was Hulk, I think.
Like the Ang Lee Hulk?
The Ang Lee Hulk, yeah.
Really?
Well, maybe we'll have to have a guest on.
Who? Ang Lee? No. Eric Bana.
With the Patreon.
Oh, Jennifer Connelly.
Oh, yes. Jennifer, okay, yes. That's what I was thinking.
We're not covering the Hulk.
We're not?
We're covering the Incredible Hulk.
Oh, you were. Okay.
Yeah. He covered the bad Hulk.
Oh, right? Okay. The badder Hulk.
No. The Incredible Hulk is a good movie.
Well, save it. You can't say that.
I can say it right now.
No, you can't say that on this episode.
It's a
we
teaser.
Have to save it.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a teaser for the
people. No, it's I'm just going to beep out whatever his
reaction
near
was. Yeah. It's not that. Man, that Ang Lee Hulk is real bad.
What do you think, James?
Horrible.
That made me
almost, that made me almost not want to be a comic book fan anymore after seeing Ang Lee's Hulk.
There you go.
Oh, so you should have grown up in the 70s. You would have never bought another comic book with the things we were subjected to.
At least he wasn't filming it in 240 hertz back then. Jeez,
oh,
can you
boy.
Imagine having to watch
oh,
it like
boy.
That with the
no, thank
fast
you.
Motion stuff?
Such a bad movie.
Anyway,
yeah.
Renfield. Let's
begin. This was I had a lot of fun at this movie.
I had a blast. This was so thoroughly entertaining in a just like check your brain and have
yep.
fun with
this
it.
This movie was bad.
Oh, but okay.
I don't like this movie
oh, okay.
in any way, shape, or form.
Interesting. So I don't disagree that it's not a great movie, but I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, I didn't have any fun at all in this
movie.
It
knew exactly what it wanted to be in its tone. Like, I wouldn't say this is a great film, but
it was woefully miscast. I thought Awkwafina was awful. I thought Nicholas Holt was awful.
Interesting.
Like, I thought they did not know how to make this movie funny. I did not laugh one time.
All right,
not
guys, let's gang up on him because we all yeah. loved it. I really felt like they knew what it wanted to be. This is directed
bad?
By...
They wanted it to be bad?
Bad.
From Hat bet. Tip. Well
but,
done.
But,
did it.
But the tone of it, they all knew what movie they were in. They were all... being silly and over the top and with the blood and the kills, like there's no way watching this movie. I mean, there's no confusion over what you're watching. Like,
that's
of course
true.
It's not supposed to be
you're
serious.
Watching
it's
a bad movie.
It's silly as can be. This is directed by Chris McKay, who directed the Lego Batman movie. One of the best Batman
I will say
movies out there.
I am kind of glad he didn't do Nightwing. After watching this,
it's a different Nightwing wouldn't have been.
But there's the tone of his style of action comedy. After watching this, and like I said, I had fun at this movie. It is not a good movie. Yeah. I had fun at it, though, and I'm really glad he didn't do Nightwing.
I don't think it's a bad movie, though. Like,
I think it's a bad movie.
I don't think it's bad, but I just think that it's a movie that it's a popcorn movie. It's not supposed to be a great film. It's supposed to be a...
But it's supposed to be funny. It's supposed to be a comedy.
I thought it was funny.
I didn't laugh.
How did your audience react, though? Like, did your
did
audience
you see
have
screening?
There was like five people in
see,
there.
See, I think that's
and
the
that and I might... they were nerds who were convincing themselves they were having fun.
Okay,
so the people there weren't really having
it's
fun.
The old, it's the old Phantom Menace thing.
They were like hooting and hollering when there's like three people in the theater.
But see, think
that's
weird. Imagine a theater full of people
so that's
hooting
what,
and hollering.
That is
right?
what we had. Like, is we had a really good. Like, it was a 3/4 full of theater, and everybody was enjoying, you know, they would laugh at the right parts.
Yeah,
so I think
people laughing out loud, like...
That doing, adds to
yeah,
it,
like,
right?
Nothing about this movie made me laugh.
Interesting.
Like, I did not laugh at one joke. Not one joke. And there were times where I was like, oh, that would have been a funny joke if you had said it properly, but you totally, your line delivery was so substandard that you completely wasted the joke.
What about you, James?
I loved the movie. It's never going to win an Academy Award. It will never be like considered for, you know, not even best cinematography, best sound effects, nothing.
Right.
But this film is going to make my top five movies of 2023.
Oh, my gosh.
So, I'll tell you, it was the perfect combination. It was like What We Do in the Shadows meets Kill Bill. The comedy didn't come from the actors. So to Tom's point, he's right. It came from the absurdity of the situation and the characters finding themselves there. That's why I didn't like their line deliveries. Awkwafina is she gives great line delivery in comedies, like we saw in Crazy Rich Asians and everything. She's capable of good comedy. I don't think any of the actors had to try. Nicolas Cage was not trying to be funny. He was channeling Bela Lugosi, and you saw flashes of Nick Cage as Bela Lugosi as Dracula, which I thought every single beat of this movie felt just right once I realized what I was in for.
I think that's a great, man, that's a great observation. And I do think you're right, is the line delivery and the jokes didn't hit. Where I was having the most fun is like just the absolute absurdity. When he punches that guy in the head and his head flies off. And
yeah,
it's like
the first time I was like, okay, but like the 50th
here's
time.
The other
the
issue.
The gore and the kills but were here's great the, in this here's the,
it just got boring. Like I wasn't like grossed out because it was so right. fake looking that like.
That's
it,
the problem.
Like nothing. Like, and then that's fine. Like they're not trying to do a Cronenberg film. Like, you know, so like, and I wouldn't want that from this movie. So yeah. like I'm not upset that it didn't look like no, graphic and real
it,
and disturbing,
supposed to be,
but it was yeah. like they kept going back to that
yeah.
over and over and over again. And it was just like, it was every time it was less funny. And for me, it wasn't that funny in the first place.
That's fair.
And it was just like, what are we doing?
I like the
premise of the film. I like the idea of he's in this toxic relationship and the self-help stuff that's the high point of the film and the fake universal
I loved
movie
it.
Stuff at the beginning.
Yeah,
I was at the beginning. I was like, "Oh, okay, I like this. Like this could be really little, good."
So, do you think that they superimposed
yes,
Nicolas Cage's face onto Bela Lugosi?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
That's the real footage.
That's crazy.
This is a Universal movie. They've
no, that's
got
fair.
Access to
yeah,
it.
That's fair.
I was watching that part, and I thought it looked so good the way
yeah.
that they. Them
it looked really, really good.
I was like, why doesn't anyone make a movie that looks like that? I would watch a whole 2023 two-hour movie filmed in black and white on real cameras. I'm like, I love the feel of a film like that.
Because I just, and I don't think yeah.
I know what you mean if you have a big budget and you want modern audiences, but I would love to watch a movie that looks like that.
I was almost like, give me that movie.
With him as.
But give me the, basically the young Frankenstein version of Renfield.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah.
This is a weird, because we've had like these strange comedic reboots of these Universal stuff. Like, didn't we get, wasn't there a Frankenstein one?
Robert Daniel, De Niro.
Oh, man. Have you seen that?
No,
about,
I've never.
You've never, it's.
Yeah. Are you talking about I, Frankenstein?
Mary Shelley's Frankenstein?
No. There was like,
oh,
it was with
I, Frankenstein with Aaron Eckhart.
Yeah.
That was
oh,
real bad. We covered
bad.
That on the show.
We did.
As a matter of fact.
I think we're in the theater
we
for
were,
that together.
Coincidentally, yeah.
No, it was like Daniel Radcliffe was.
Oh,
Victor, is it Victor Frankenstein?
Victor Von Doom.
That's Van Damme, according to the... But I think there was like a weird, like, that was supposed to be
it's
a comedy...
Frankenstein, by the way.
Yeah, why are you saying it like that? Why are you walking that way?
Okay, no. That scene in the help group, when he goes, yes, well, I don't know why are you saying that way,
yeah,
but yes, go to your full power. No, that was so freaking
funny. What a weird way
funny.
To say that.
That
why
was,
would you say it that
I
way?
Thought, that guy was hilarious, and I thought those lines were really funny. So that's one time where, like, I was
you know,
laughing.
Maybe I would have found it funny if like, it wasn't in the trailer in its entirety
yeah.
and played in front of...
I didn't watch the trailer.
That's,
see, that,
I mean,
you
go to a movie,
got, you
like,
have to
they're going
to
show...
Look at your phone.
I do, but, like, they're
yeah.
loud.
I'm just saying, like, how many times lately have...
Yeah.
Last episode, I think, like, you keep... People keep bringing up whatever the trailers,
yeah.
and that's my whole point. And the reason why I keep harping on it is like I don't want movies ruined by the trailers.
Yeah.
I want to go watch them,
yeah.
and I want those jokes. I want to be surprised by what happens. And so, like, I'm not trying to be a snob about it, but I found when I stopped watching
yeah.
trailers,
it's just when
you know,
go to a movie, and
totally.
I even show up late, but there's only so
yeah.
you know, there's only so.
It was Victor Frankenstein,
yeah.
starring Daniel Radcliffe as Igor
and
James McAvoy as Victor Frankenstein.
No recollection.
But that's not a straight comedy, though.
It's written by Max Landis.
Say
yeah, no
but
more.
It, but it wasn't
the epitome of scumbag.
Did that get swallowed when
I think
like
it,
he got
that's
canceled?
That's probably not what we should say.
Yeah,
that's not.
Poor choice of words.
Yeah,
but that wasn't a wacky comedy like this one. Like it's a different tone than
that's true. Yeah, the epitome of a guy who thought he hit a triple. But woke up on third base.
That guy. But yeah, I enjoyed the comedy beats in this. And to me, it just felt like it knew what it wanted. Like, sometimes movies try to take themselves too seriously.
Yeah.
I will give Cocaine Bear as the most recent example of a comedy that, like, tried to be too good, where we said, this should just be dumb. It should
yeah.
be stupid and over the top.
I only disagree with that because it was treating... I feel like that movie... I've actually gone back and rewatched it because
yeah.
it's on...
It's on Peacock
because you're on cocaine.
Yeah. Correct. But like it's trying to emulate the tone of the movies that it's ripping off.
But it's too good.
That's the
it
yes.
looks too good. It's too
it's
competent.
It's trying to redo that tone.
Some movies, you know, are too good and they don't know. They're trying to be wacky, but they don't know how to get the tone right. And then some movies are like too silly. Thor 4 is a great example of a movie that, like, yeah, the comedy elements in Ragnarok work, but when you go too silly, it undermines some of the serious stuff and the action. So this
movie, how do you come back from that?
Thor?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think there's any in production of new Thor movies. Like, he's not under contract.
You guys almost get a Kenneth Branagh to come back and really bring the tone back to the first movie.
Yeah, it's going to be so...
If you
want to
come back from Thor 4.
It's going to be really jarring to get another Thor movie that's like, by the way, he's a badass Viking again and he's slaughtering people.
Is he in Guardians 3?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, because they split up in 4.
That kind of explained how they separated because they were together at the end.
It's just, I think if they have another Thor movie planned, that's going to be a crazy tone shift.
I would be happy for Taika to go back to making his own original stuff. His original stuff's so good. Like, you know, we had fun with Ragnarok, but like, let him make his really
go back
movies.
And do one like Ragnarok, because Ragnarok was great.
But let someone else do it. He's done two.
But
like,
the problem was he got all the feedback on the comedy, so he's like, "Well, I'll give you more of the things you liked."
Well, and like, I think they also said Ragnarok made a ton of money, so I think it gets harder and harder to give him notes when you hire someone like Taika Waititi. You hire him to Taika Waititi it up.
Right.
And they're like, well, it worked. So.
Speaking of what we did in the shadows.
Yeah, that's a great movie. But so my point is that this movie did not feel like one of those movies that didn't understand what they were trying to do. Like, it set out to make this zany, silly, maybe not irreverent, but like the over-the-top kills and stuff. And it did, and it delivered. And I found myself...
But it also wastes a lot of its own time, considering it's 90 minutes.
I was going to say.
I felt like it, like...
All the cop stuff, none of it pays off.
Oh, you mean
all the cops are corrupt, no payoff. Like
they all
the thing with her dad being whatever, and then no payoff.
That is, I thought they were going for.
I think the payoff is they're all dead, so now she's cleaned up the apartment.
I thought they were saying like your dad was the most uncorruptible cop, blah blah blah, and you can't. I thought it was like, okay, so she is corrupt, like she did something for this crime family that maybe got her dad killed or something.
Oh.
But to your point,
he was the only one that wanted,
never reference anything.
They killed him because he was the only one that wouldn't do
it.
But
then why would they protect his daughter?
Yeah, I think they would have wasted more time had they gone into a big backstory on her. I think it's like,
Set it up is my point. Like, why even
sequel,
have it in there?
Renfield 2.
So they wanted to give you a reason to care about the detective or the police officer. They wanted to give you a reason. They can't give you no backstory on her, or she would just seem expendable. I think they wanted to give you a reason to root for her and why you want her to team up with Renfield and why you want her to...
To that point, I mean, we root for her in Shang-Chi. They don't give us a backstory of her in Shang-Chi. She's the lead character in this. But she's the lead character in that, too. She's the second lead in that movie.
Yeah, she's the female lead.
She's Shang's best friend.
Yeah, I just think it's different when I really think she's like a main character in this, where she's the main character Shang would be in Shang-Chi. She's a main character in this. Like, to give her no backstory and just have her be teaming up and trying to take on Dracula and take on the mob, I think her character is
equivalent in terms of screen time and importance as Shang-Chi.
Yeah.
I mean, Shang-Chi, though, she is the best friend, and we automatically are going to root for the best friend. We do it in television series, movies, whereas this one, she had no connection to Renfield other than the fact that, she's now, if you want to call it a meet cute when they end up killing a bunch of people in a restaurant, but she's now the ally. So I guess that's why they felt a little bit of a backstory was necessary.
I'm all for characterization, because I think one thing that's really
lacking... But like, I felt like they spent too much. They reach this tipping point where they spent so much time on it that
then there's
just real no payoff.
Yeah.
And there's no there. I mean, the end of the movie is just wholesale slaughter.
Yeah.
And they're just like, and she's just like, well, I guess I'm the only person that decides whether or not you get arrested for all these murders.
Yeah,
so
right. It's the old The Man of Steel ending.
Away with
you. Like, hey, you know that guy you just murdered and you feel really bad about it? Why don't you go bang Lois and not worry about it at all, ever?
All right, so story-wise.
Yeah, so we get a retelling of Dracula and Renfield. He's a real estate agent who's trying to sell the castle or buy the castle. Dracula's castle, is that right?
He's trying something.
Yes.
He's trying to buy the castle from Count Dracula. And then, of course, Dracula in the 1932... Right?
1931, I thought. And again, I'm not much of a reader, so I've never read the original book. Any of you who have met me in person, I don't look like a reader. But I kind of thought that they were kind of conflating Because in the movies that I've seen, Renfield's always the inmate under Stewart's care.
Yeah.
I felt like this was kind of a mishmash of Harker and Renfield that they kind of put together for the character for this.
Oh, interesting.
That was my kind of understanding. But I did not see all the Dracula movies, and I didn't read the book, so maybe I was wrong.
I haven't seen the 31 version in, I mean, decades. I actually have started to go back and rewatch the Christopher Lee Hammer stuff, and that stuff is wacky. Like, the first two are really good, and then they just get like, whoa, boy. he's basically he calls him a familiar, and I was like, are we watching Blade? Like, I know that from Blade. Like, that's what that's from.
Right. I think you will find that Blade took that from the lore of Dracula.
That could make sense. That makes total sense.
That's like, we talk about that sometimes when you're younger and you watch the newer movies or whatever. Right. You're like, oh, that's from this. But it's like, the more, now it's starting to happen where kids are watching movies in 2023.
And we're like, hey,
that's from my movie in the early 2000s. Where Tom was like, yeah, I told you that. Yeah. That's not original. Yeah. They did that.
You know that gag in Mario Brothers? The Three Stooges
right,
did it.
Exactly. Right, exactly. Tom's always telling us that stuff. Now we're at the point where we're starting to tell people because we've seen enough movies.
And it's going to get worse before it gets better.
I know.
It's not going to get better.
Like when they say, oh, they were born in the 1900s.
Yeah, I was like,
that's what the kids now say is they say, like, all of us were born in the 1900s. Could be 1901, could be 1999. Doesn't matter. The 1900s. It's, like a dagger.
It's like, well, you're not wrong, but still.
Yeah, don't say it like that.
Go. Yeah. In the 31 version, they wrap up that story pretty quick. Also, I think Bela Lugosi might be the only actor to play all of the Universal monsters except for the creature from the Black Lagoon.
Really?
He was definitely Frankenstein in some of the later stuff. Maybe he was
definitely the Wolfman.
He was the Wolfman?
Yeah.
Okay, so I think he played the mummy too.
I loved his characterization of the Bride of Frankenstein.
It was great, right?
I was very conflicted.
But he was also the mummy, yeah. At one
point. Wait a minute. Did his Wolfman have nards?
They all have nards.
All of them?
Yes.
To show you the impact of Bela Lugosi's Dracula.
Yeah.
To Kevin's point, kids today. Yeah. If you were to ask any of the kids today to impersonate Dracula, chances are, without knowing
hand
it,
over the face,
they would do
Adam Sandler,
an impersonation of Bela Lugosi.
Adam Sandler?
Well, kids today, they all grew up with Hotel Transylvania.
Yeah.
Oh.
Who
blah,
is?
Blah, blah,
but,
blah.
But he's doing a Bela Lugosi. Everyone's doing a Bela Lugosi.
Yeah, you would get a Bela Lugosi.
The arm over the face. Yeah. Like, that's exactly what
and
that
then
is.
I call him to drag.
How about Gary Oldman?
I need to rewatch that
movie. That's wild. If you want to talk about a wild movie.
What a ballsy move to put your name above the author's name. Francis Ford Coppola's Bram Stoker's Dracula.
They do that, man.
Based on the novel Push by Sapphire. Yeah.
I do need to go back and rewatch that movie. Somebody was just, Matt Gourley and Paul Rust were just talking about that. About how, like, it was, when it came out, it was like the craziest thing anybody had ever seen.
Yeah.
My favorite piece of merchandise from that whole movie was that they put out a novelization of the movie. It was just Dracula, but it still said Francis Ford Coppola's Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Oh my gosh.
And then it was just the book Dracula. And I was like, wait a second.
He's got his winery. He's a businessman.
Speaking of Francis Ford Coppola, he does have a nephew who's in this movie.
Oh, hey, that's right.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of an interesting connection. I didn't even think about that he did Dracula and then...
You know, Nick was like, hey, can I be your Dracula? And he's like, no.
Absolutely.
I got Gary Oldman.
He's like, you changed your name.
Yeah. You bring shame
Why don't
on
you
this
get
family?
Francis Ford Cage to put you in a goddamn Dracula movie, bitch?
That's funny.
I got to say, too, I just realized a mistake I made. He Lugosi did not play the Wolfman. That was Lon Chaney. He played Frankenstein and Frankenstein Meets the Wolfman.
Yes.
Which is what I was conflating.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
I got that wrong.
Yes, you're right.
So he didn't have nards. I guess he wasn't even the Wolfman.
Well, Lugosi did not have... Well, I'm not going to say that.
Frankenstein had nards. They just weren't his.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could you imagine? That's the movie I want to see.
James, where do you stand on Monster Squad? Because that's what we're making fun of.
Well,
are real close here, James. I got a mute button.
No, I would have to say that was not my favorite movie of all time. So
he can say.
You know what?
I...
I'll allow not favorite movie of all time.
He was a lot nicer
that's
than we
that's
are.
That's enjoyable. That's a win for me.
I'm not going to say right, I didn't enjoy it.
I feel like right now, like the look on James' face is the look that Brian used to get when his mother would ask him which parent he loved the most.
Oh, man. Oh,
I might go back and rewatch Monster Squad today. I don't know. We'll see.
Do it.
So we basically get like a rundown that Renfield is given a fraction of Dracula's power, and the only way he can access it is by eating bugs.
Is this a new thing? I thought that they were like enchanted bugs by Dracula or something. Like Dracula does something with his
powers.
No,
because that's a running gag in... Did you ever see Dracula Dead and Loving It? With Lee.
Yes.
Okay, so that's a running gag in that
I have,
movie.
But it's been a long time.
The guy that plays...
That's a Mel Brooks movie, right?
Yes, and the guy that plays Renfield as that is the guy who's like Viggo's familiar in Ghostbusters 2. That actor is Renfield in that, and he is eating bugs.
Okay, so it must be. I've never read the book, and it's been a long time since I've watched the old movies. Talk about a movie with where the comedy doesn't work. I mean, I love Mel Brooks, but have you tried to watch Dracula Dead Loving It recently?
I bailed on Mel Brooks on the later stuff. Yeah. I've never
it's
seen
not good.
It.
It's,
it had some. It had some good parts. Harvey Korman was hysterical.
There are definitely moments.
I forgot
in it,
he's
but
in that movie. You're absolutely right.
He's Dr. Seward. He's at the hotel because he's telling Renfield, "You just ate a bug." No, I didn't. Yes, you did. You did. Yeah. You're putting one in your mouth now. No, I'm not.
Yeah. No, there are definitely. I mean, it has moments, and it is Mel Brooks. Like, it's not going to be without any merit. But that's a movie that's hit or miss.
And it's more misses.
I tried
than
to watch it recently because it's like free on some of the streaming things, you know. And I was just like, oh,
get what you pay for.
Yeah, that's right.
If you're a little kid, it's probably great.
Right. I mean, that's
I think that's true. Like, yeah. But like the later Mel Brooks, I'm sorry, Spaceballs just doesn't work for me.
Spaceballs doesn't work?
I didn't like Spaceballs at all.
There's a Mel Brooks line where he stops being...
Spaceballs...
Not controversial, but...
But like Spaceballs, it was like he... It's like when your favorite band starts to get eclipsed by other bands, and then they try to sound like the new bands.
Uh-huh.
You know, and like it was like, oh, I need to sound like Zucker Brothers. And I felt like Spaceballs was Mel Brooks impersonating Zucker Brothers.
The Zucker, because Airplane and all that stuff.
Yeah. And and it just never worked for me. And I feel like it's an age thing, because most people that seem to like it, like they saw it when they were younger.
I love Spaceballs.
Yeah.
Speaking of bands that have made it, have you heard the new Metallica album?
No. I've not.
It's fantastic.
Oh, okay.
It is like old school Metallica. It's nice. Dope.
So this movie takes place basically most of it like 100 years later. So it's set in modern times. They've been doing their thing.
What he does is he falls out of power, Dracula does. He goes on a killing spree. The good guys show up. They beat Dracula. Then they have to move.
And I like how they say, like, basically off. It's been 100 years and, like, you know, times are tough. Like, the money runs out. Yeah. There's only something Renfield's running around trying to lure people in, and it's just like, you know, it's...
Should have sold that castle.
See? Should have made a good deal. But look at the real estate deals now. It's probably worth way more now.
You would think if you make your familiar a real estate developer that you'd
be all right.
You'd be all right.
Yeah,
but you know
pretty.
What? The money, it depends on how you live, right? I mean, you know, maybe they did sell the castle. They lasted 100 years and money's out.
Gone.
Got to move into the...
Got to find a crypto bro.
Dracula.
They spent all the money on candles. Did you see that set? Yeah. That's what they spent all the money on.
So they're living in the basement of a hotel?
It's like an old hospital.
Okay.
It's like an old hospital.
Oh, it's supposed to be an old insane asylum.
That's what I thought. That's definitely the way it looks. Yeah. I don't know if they said that, but it's definitely an old hospital.
So that's a real hospital in New Orleans that is has been closed since Katrina, since 2005.
I wouldn't go in there. That sounds terrifying.
And apparently, like, sometimes people see stuff in the windows, so they think it might be haunted. So kind of a good location for a spooky, you know, Dracula
lair. Yeah, they actually used it. Do you think they went inside and used it? That wasn't a set?
Oh, it's probably a set. I'm just saying, like, it is based on the exteriors.
The exteriors were great.
Isn't
that, what'd they do that with The Shining? Like, the exterior is not the same as the interior for the hotel,
right?
Yeah,
like, the one hotel's in California and the other one's in Colorado.
Yeah.
That's right, because you can visit one of them.
You can go to both of them, I think.
Yeah, I think the interiors is the California hotel and the exteriors is the Colorado.
That's what it is. If they don't have that carpet, that's a huge mistake. They better at least
have one
level.
I'm pretty sure they do. My sister went there. I was so bummed because I was like, you don't even like movies. And she just happened to be, she's like, oh, and the look, which where it's the
Stanley,
hotel The Shining
right?
was based on. Yeah. That's the name of the hotel.
Yeah.
In the
real one.
In
It's the Overlook in the...
Oh, that's right. Yeah, the Stanley is. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, I was just like, you don't deserve to see this hotel.
Do you have any idea how many times I've read that book and seen the movie? You don't. Yeah, I get to go. You don't get to go.
This is an outrage.
So the movie does kind of a flashback type thing. Like he starts at the support group and Renfield's like, you know, this is kind of how I got here. But the main thing is that they build up the relationship like it's an abusive relationship.
I mean, it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's. Yeah. I thought it was really clever. So now the idea for the movie is by Robert Kirkman, who did The Walking Dead. Right?
I got to tell you. That makes total sense.
That's the idea, the concept. So he has, like, if you look at the credits, you're like, boom, Robert Kirkman. It's an idea by credit. So this is written.
My favorite review I've seen of this movie, it just said, this is like someone had a successful elevator pitch and panicked. And I'm like, yeah.
But that's but so it was his idea, but okay. this was actually written by a Rick and Morty writer. So we've had a couple of those lately that we're starting to get this based on the popularity of that show. Like those writers are starting to get pretty big gigs. Ryan Ridley is the main guy. He also wrote some episodes of Community, the Sarah Silverman show. Rick and Morty, I think he's been on like 13 of the episodes, so he's done a lot there. But so when you're looking at it, like at first I thought, oh, this is written by Robert Kirkman, but then I looked at it and it said idea by.
Here's the thing about Robert Kirkman.
Yeah.
He is a great opening middle guy.
So he's J.J. Abrams. He has the ideas. Yeah, he just doesn't know how to follow through.
I think that I dropped off The Walking Dead at issue 100 because I just stopped caring. I did finish Invincible, which if you've never read is incredible. The show is also just
I can't
wait
till that show's got to be coming back
soon,
right?
Yeah. Okay. But there are others like the end of The Walking Dead is kind of like okay. Like he gets to a point in that book where he says he has it, and I'm like, I'm not going to talk about Robert Kirkman. Like, that dude is, like, this number two guy at Image right now. Like, he's parlayed those two books into a massive career.
Yeah.
But, like, the ending of Invincible kind of makes sense. But when you get to issue 100 of The Walking Dead, it's like, where are we going here?
But how, I mean, to be fair, man, that's like, how do you...
I think he painted himself into a corner.
It's such an impossible... So when you're talking about a zombie apocalypse, it's like, how do you end that in any medium, like especially if you're writing issue after issue? It's like,
well, it basically comes down to, do you want a realistic ending or do you want a happy
right and the realistic ending
is there a happy ending?
We die.
Yeah,
we don't make it,
right? And what is your happy ending? It's like, okay, so we've,
and it's like, well, we told you it was a zombie apocalypse.
That, did you ever hear the story about how he got that pitched through at Image? Is he said that they were going to be like aliens. Because the people at Image were like, a zombie book is never going to work. It's never going to work. He's like, no. They're not zombies. Like, the thing is, they're going to be aliens. And the guys at Image were like, okay. And then they went through. He's like, never mind. And so he ended up writing with Ryan Ottley, the artist for Invincible, like the pitch that he did at some point. So that exists somewhere. I don't know if it was like in an anthology or something, or issue 100 maybe, where it's the ending is the alien ending, where all of our heroes are back to being alive and they've been abducted by aliens and now they're fighting and they've got lightsabers. Like it's crazy. But yeah, so
this movie really is about Renfield. So Dracula's in the movie, but it's called Renfield, and it's about Renfield trying to get away from Dracula. And so we see Nicolas Cage's Dracula kind of being restored because he's been in fights and people have, you know, these vampire hunters have been after him and he's losing his powers. And they show that like when he gets really burned or whatever, he can heal, but it takes a long time and he needs like really pure blood. He needs, you know,
innocent blood.
Yeah. So he's asked for a bus full of cheerleaders. I thought that was funny when he's asking for
that
people.
That was a great gag.
And then he goes to the bar and he's like, oh my God, they're all right here.
There's a bunch of nuns sitting there at the table.
Yeah.
A happy couple.
So yeah. So he wants all the innocence or whatever to be restored. And I thought the makeup.
I don't think cheerleaditers today are as innocent as he's giving them.
Yeah. He's talking about early 1900s.
I just don't know that would be as effective as you might.
That's true.
Think.
He has a very, I mean, he's old. He has a very old school point of view.
The makeup on Nicolas Cage post getting burned.
Yeah.
I think is really good.
I thought it was fantastic. The practical stuff that they did on him and whatever CG.
He actually burned his face.
Right.
He just stuck his face right in campfire.
Really creepy, really scary.
Like skin hanging off.
Yeah. I loved the makeup in this.
No, it was really good. And that is one of my complaints is the amount of CG. Like I hate it so much because I think there are so many talented makeup artists mm-hmm. and special effects guys that still exist, right? Like, I understand that this isn't the 80s and 90s where that was like the heyday of, you know, Robert Kurtzman and Greg Nicotero and, you know, all those guys. But there is just something, it's Uncanny Valley for me, where it's like, you could do the whole, you could rip that guy's arms off in camera, like, and just have the effect, but it's also, it just,
I think you have to, I'm 100% on board. You know, I love practical. I'd much rather see it. It's just studios with already with inflating budgets. They're just not
Do you think it's cheaper to do it CG? I guess it probably is.
I think
is.
So, because the cleanup, I mean, you have squibs go off, you have blood everywhere. Oh, we need another take, clean up, and reset the whole thing.
That's a good
thing.
Point. If the shot doesn't work, you gotta do it all over again.
That when he punches that guy's head off, that's practical,
right? They just
which I thought was great.
Using prisoners on death row.
The biggest mistake they made with this movie is giving it a $60 million budget. That's the thing.
That's too high.
It's just too much budget for this type of movie, right? So it's just that when you look at what Blumhouse does with horror, right?
If they would
take more of a model of doing it for the $8 to $10 million, even, you get the big actors and, you know, maybe work it back in deal or something, but to put $60 million into this movie, it's just not the type of movie that is going to be a blockbuster. It's
no,
just not.
And this is that we've talked about, like that late night HBO movie.
Yeah,
that's what this is. Like,
this Your Highness, you know, it's just the kind of comedy that, like,
that's a good comparison.
It's going to be really funny. Like, I love that movie. I haven't watched in a while. Maybe it won't be as funny as who's in it, but you know, it's that type of movie where it's going to be funny. It's going to probably play.
What did Danny McBride do?
Nothing.
Halloween Ends.
Yeah, you know what? He is creative on that trilogy.
He got one. he's batting .333.
Right,
Kevin.
He's one for any of that Alien movie too, though.
He wrote that movie.
Yeah.
That last Alien movie?
Yeah.
Oh, well, so, all right. He's
we got to combine
four,
those
one,
franchises.
One for four.
The thing is that it's just not going to make that much money. It's too big of a budget. And so I just think that they, you know, going up against the other stuff, like obviously Mario's got the kids movie stuff going on, that it opened against the Pope's Exorcist or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, that had a tiny budget and it did almost as much
as
this.
So does that mean that the Pope has an exorcist, or that the Pope needed an exorcist?
I think he has an exorcist.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's what that is.
Well, all exorcists would be the Pope's exorcist.
That's exactly right. Yeah. All of them.
All of them.
This is actually kind of...
It's a Catholic thing. It is.
No, it is.
It's a Catholic rite, like R-I-T-E, and when somebody makes a movie about an exorcist and doesn't have Catholics in it, they're wrong.
Jesuits.
Yeah.
The Jesuits. That's
it's cultural appropriation.
I don't think that's a culture.
Catholicism?
You don't think that's a culture?
I don't know.
All right.
The Catholics I know haven't been very cultured. So
you're not wrong. I grew up with them all my entire life. Yeah. It's fair. But they've kind of shot themselves in the foot, because next week is Evil Dead.
Right.
And it's like, you're going to get lost.
You're gone. Because you've got an IP and you've got, you know, just it's supposed to be bonkers.
An IP that is like, you think Renfield's gory? Just wait.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I hear.
That's going to be real gore.
Yes.
Like, you know, like trying to disgust
you. That's going to be somebody using a cheese grater on somebody's face.
I don't think this gore is bad, because it worked perfectly in this movie, but the horror audiences that show up, like that even did through COVID, that are paying, you know, they're packing the theaters and showing up for this stuff, they're more, I think, looking for the Evil Dead gore than the Renfield comedy, because it's just like, well, this is silly.
Right.
And so people that wanted to see a silly comedy, but we've talked about this for a long time, comedies don't make money in theaters like
not
these
anymore.
Two.
Not
so
anymore.
So this is a genre piece and it's a comedy. So you're limited.
But they'll be on VOD in 3 weeks.
Right, right.
And they'll be fine.
It'll be okay, but that budget is going to make them, you know, break even and not necessitate a sequel, where a $20 million that could make 60, you know, they're going to say, oh, that's decent, and let's see.
I'm actually surprised the budget was 60 million. I didn't look at that when I was doing my review, because I'm like, oh, this is a really, you know, I figured the budget may have been like 30 million.
Right, this seems like a movie that might be 20 to 30, and that's what I'm saying, is that I guess you pay Nick Cage up front. You know, there's got to be – Awkwafina gets paid up front. Like, the budget has to go into – even though there's CG and stuff, but not so much to necessitate $60 million unless you're paying big paychecks, I think.
Do you – going back to that comedy thing, do you think that – so was it Old School? Is Old School the one that kind of kicks off that rated R comedy boom of the late 90s or late 2000s?
I mean, Hangover –
That's 2009.
Well, I know it was first, but Old School didn't do what Old School was like. We found it on DVD, and this is like
Wedding
Crashers.
What was Michael
Cera and Jonah Hill? Wasn't that the one?
Super Bad.
Wasn't that the one they said? I thought maybe
I think it's Wedding Crashers.
Was that R?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's Wedding Crashers. I mean, Old School was a hit.
I think Old School was better than Wedding Crashers.
But it was a, I think, I feel like it was a moderate hit, and then it really developed a following.
It was a home video.
But then Wedding Crashers kicked the door down for an R-rated comedy.
And it was like Dodgeball.
And then Hangover took the record time, because that just became.
Well, I think Wedding Crashers didn't have it, and then Hangover took it.
Oh, did Wedding Crashers get? Okay.
Hangover took it. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So do you think that
Bridesmaids is in there too? Obviously, Bridesmaids came in strong with
Bridesmaids is fantastic.
I mean, see, look at that time period. It's like for a moment, but that's pre-streaming. You know, everyone had a streamer, right? And so now it's streaming movies, and because you can watch comedies. I mean, it's fun in the theater. I totally get it.
I think it's a different vibe for sure.
But you can watch comedies at home, and you don't need a 300-inch screen necessarily to. You know, it's not special effects.
Nope.
It's, you know, it's comedy. So they're telling jokes, and you know, stand-up specials have been on TV for forever.
It is interesting to see those stand-up specials that even now comedians are like, no, we're not going to Netflix. Like, I'll take it to YouTube.
Well, that's the thing, too, is that they realize that now, especially the ones with an audience, you know, that have that huge following, well, if you can charge them and make all the money or whatever. But,
and I get to put out my own product. Like, you don't get to edit my product.
Exactly.
Yeah, so... Renfield, you know, he
also currently the highest grossing R-rated comedy of all time.
Yeah.
Is Deadpool.
Oh,
that makes sense.
Yeah.
Totally.
362 and then Hangover at 277, Hangover 2, which was
real
just coasting on the success.
Yeah.
Hangover
big
one.
Time. Big time.
Because Hangover took the title from Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah.
And to big Beverly Hills Cop is, Hangover 2 is at number 3 with $254 million. Beverly Hills Cop is at number 4 with $234
million. Dang.
So you're talking 1984 dollars versus
2010?
2011 dollars.
Yeah. Why do I know that? It's like, why do I know that? You know what I mean? Like, I nailed that. I don't know why.
Trust me, man.
With movie knowledge, it's weird with the years where you just...
I get it.
For some, you know. But that's why I thought, because I'm like, I didn't think it was Wedding Crashers, but that's right. Beverly Hills Cop was so huge, and it made headlines. It's like, wow, this deep.
And that's not... And Wedding Crashers made $209 million,
which is still huge.
That's 2005.
Right. But Beverly Hills Cop also isn't a straight up comedy. Like, that's an action comedy,
right.
Which was all the rage right in
the
80s, right?
Deadpool.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah,
yeah, that's kind of took it back over.
Yeah, I mean, action comedy was...
That was it. You know, Lethal Weapon's an action comedy. Mm-hmm. Like, that's all that.
I think... What was
48
Hours. 48
Hours.
I was thinking, I love Blues Brothers.
I'll give you Blues Brothers.
Smokey and the Bandit, even.
Also
I guess
a good one.
You know,
for sure.
So, you know, yeah.
So, okay. So, plot-wise, real quick. So, Dracula's trying to be restored to his full power. Renfield's supposed to be going and getting him this innocent blood. But Renfield's having a change of heart where he's, like, realizing after finding the support group, which, again, I thought was really clever.
Well, he found the support, like, he's using
That's
the support
what I was gonna
group.
Say. I think this is really clever the way they did this.
Yeah, like, he follows somebody that ends up, he's following somebody to kill, and they're in the support group. And then he's like, oh, wait. I can kill them.
The person that's tormenting.
The person that caused these people to need to be in a support
mom.
Group.
Which
yeah.
is a,
yeah, right.
which is just a really funny, clever idea. Where he's like, I
the
don't want to kill the people.
Stuff I liked.
I liked when he's like, I was following Bob because he looked like a really good...
Because why?
He was like, a friend. Yeah. He's like, yeah, that's right.
That's, yeah, that stuff's really funny.
But my favorite part of this whole support group is Nora... Or the girl who's like trying to share.
Off, yeah.
And every time she's like getting into, you know, Renfield comes busting in. She's like, can I just share one time? But like the way she was just so exasperated. But yeah.
Yeah. So he falls into this, you know, he finds the victims through the support group, does it in this clever way where he's like, oh, I'll kill the bad people, not these people looking for help. So then he follows.
But then that's keeping Dracula weak. Right, because Dracula needs innocent blood, and he's not
true.
Bringing
it's
him
right.
People.
He's not doing what he should. He's, right. So, but he follows the way that this plot gets kicked off with the mob and everything. Is the one girl in support group is like, you know, my boyfriend's horrible, whatever, and he likes ska, and then there's this through line of ska the whole time. They cut to the drug, whatever they stole the drugs, and they're listening to
Here's
ska.
Here's the best thing, my buddy Jeff. Loves ska.
Yeah.
I love ska.
I do too.
I like ska too.
Rolling like Fish, Less Than Jake.
It's good stuff.
I like it too.
Mighty Mighty Bosstones, all good stuff.
It was a funny joke, but like I like
but
ska.
But I really thought the final action scene should have
been to a ska song.
Should have been a ska song.
Yeah. But it, as soon as they're like, that's the worst. Is that the stuff with the horns? And she goes on and on about how it's very different
that
was and nuanced.
That's really...
that's very reductive.
Yeah, like, right. Oh, no, listen to
and
me.
And I immediately thought of my buddy Jeff, who...
You should think of your wife when somebody talks to her about wrestling.
That's true.
She probably does. Gosh.
She's like...
Well, no, I mean, it's really more of like theater of the absurd. Because,
I gotta tell you, crap. She hit me with something the other day.
A chair?
Yeah, right. In the back of the head. She's like, I thought I had him.
I thought you'd like it.
Yeah. She's like, you love concussions. They're the best. You get them all the time.
Hey, whatever you guys do on your own time.
No, but she rattled off some wrestling fact, and I'm sitting there. I'm like, what? What? She's like, that was pretty good, wasn't it?
You were like, we have to do it right now.
Oh my gosh.
Let's go.
Okay, so anyway, the way they tie this all together, which I thought was funny, so he follows the guy home, the ska-loving bad boyfriend home.
He's wearing like suspenders and like a wife beater is what I call it.
It's what they were called?
Yeah.
Checkered Vans.
Yes, but yeah, right.
And so they have all these drugs, and you're like, who are these guys? Well, find out. They stole all these drugs from the mob, and so the mob is sending their hitman and their goofball, the son of
Jason
the mob leader,
Schwartzman?
Is Ben Schwartz.
Ben Schwartz.
Who voiced Sonic. He's Jean Ralphio, Saperstein, and Parks and Rec. Yeah. I really like
Dewey
Ben
Duck in DuckTales.
Yep. I mean,
is he really?
Yeah.
Great.
Oh, I didn't know that.
The new DuckTales reboot, yeah.
That's fun.
He's
that's
great.
A lot
I
of
love
fun.
Ben Schwartz. But anyway, so he's the son, the F-up son of the mob leader.
If they do Plastic Man, there's your plastic. That's your plastic.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. And so he brings along with... This was another funny joke. What was the guy's name? Something Joe. What was the?
Oh, like the,
that's an insensitive name. But you tell him. You try telling him that. I mean, these. I thought there was some really funny.
I think that there are like,
gags in it.
Chris McKay is a really talented director.
Yeah,
and I think that there. Like I said, I'm really glad he didn't do Nightwing. Get off of this, because I think that if he would have taken the tone that with this to Nightwing,
but you
know, Nightwing
that's
didn't
what
have to be
that's
that
fair.
Was my
yeah.
point that
that's
I didn't
fair.
Finish earlier is that a Rick and Morty writer wrote this.
That's true.
You don't have
that's
a
true.
Rick and Morty writer write Nightwing yeah. necessarily.
No, you have Tom Taylor write.
I mean,
Nightwing.
The guys that you know wrote for Community could make Captain America. So anything
that's
can happen,
true.
But
yeah. man, what a
but this sense of humor. If you have a Rick and Morty writer, maybe don't get him to do it. But
no, don't do that.
But anyway, so he's there and he sends this big guy that looks like Bane, basically.
Well, Batman or Robin Bane.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you got a guy that looks like Bane. And he's going in there and he's killing all the guys. And then Nicholas Holt, Renfield, has to face off with him. He eats the bugs, got the powers. But anyway, so now he's in the bad graces of the mob. And Ben Schwartz, you know, hightails it out of there. I thought it was funny. He gets in the car.
He ducktails it out of there.
Hey!
There you go. And he runs into Awkwafina, who's like on traffic duty. Or something like the police have basically relegated her to the lowest position because she won't play ball with taking payoffs and stuff. But anyway, she's out there and he drives his car right into this crime scene thing.
He's got drugs everywhere, throwing drugs I like that gag
too.
Yeah,
they get him
and
he's like, oh, take this. And then she's like, are you throwing cocaine at me? He's like, this isn't mine or whatever. It's funny.
With his family's logo on the package.
Yeah. But they bust him and then, you know, he ends up getting off scot-free.
That's another gag where he's like openly giving up like all of the information he can and the guy's like there's nobody in there yet, he's just talking.
I thought that was great. Yeah, no one's even asking him questions and like they have him dead to rights with all his confessions, but he ends up getting out and then Awkwafina's like, what the hell, man?
I will say it's a nice cameo, the gal that plays his lawyer.
Yeah, who is that? I couldn't tell who that.
So she's in Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. Okay. She's the lead character, her name is Stretch in that movie.
Okay.
Caroline
in the City.
No. Oh. That's Leah Thompson.
Go.
Ray.
What?
Caroline Ray.
Oh, who's that?
Actor.
Oh, okay. But no, I feel like it's Caroline Williams. That might not be right.
Okay.
But she is like she's in all kinds of stuff.
Okay. And she's on the circuit.
Her character Stretch is an interesting character only because she's like who's the guy that Richard Belzer, who was the detective that he played.
Bunce?
Munch.
There you go.
Her character is like the Munch of like horror movies because she'll show, Caroline Williams, I think is her name. She'll show up in other stuff. And then her character name is
Stretch and Munch. Are you sure you're not thinking of the porn parody of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre? Okay.
But like when you look at her character name, like in the credits, it's Stretch. So she's shown like that character has shown up in all kinds of different stuff.
Got it.
But yeah, that's who that was.
So he's off scot-free, basically, and this is where we get the backstory where Awkwafina and her sister,
who works for the FBI, but
hangs out around the police
station. The same building as the police.
None of that made sense. No. And okay, that was bad. That was bad. But
I was like,
she's just getting some evidence and walking down the hallway.
But there's
like
a task force. like in the building. And I was like, I don't think that's
happening. Yeah, I don't know. That's none of that. I was watching the same thing going, okay, this doesn't make any sense.
But, also, your sister's going to be the bad guy, right? Like, that's what we're going with this? Oh, no, we're not at all. Okay.
But they're like lamenting the loss of the father, who was this great detective. And you know, the sister's like, hey, I'm mad too, but like, we got stuff to do, right? Like,
yeah, so then
you got to build the case.
Build that case. That's right. So there's another set piece where they figure out, not only does Awkwafina figure out where this pen came from that was at the crime scene, but the mob has figured out that
she's a problem.
She's a problem, and then they're going to take her out at this club, which this club is crazy looking. Like, this is something out of a 1980s movie. Like, the way the big set piece on top of the club.
Why didn't they go to the club from Blade? They should have went
because
to the club
that was
from Blade.
That wasn't a club.
It was a meatpacking.
It was a meatpacking.
I'm just saying though, that would have been really funny if they went to like.
Depends on the kind of club. Some of them have meatpacking.
That's true. That's a good point. That's man. That opening sequence of Blade is so
good, right?
So good.
Dracula.
Is it Steven? No, it's not even that. No, it's just like some random, like techno song.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah,
I thought it was Dracula. I guess I'm thinking of Matrix, but I thought they used
no,
it
no.
That
it's
too.
Just some random because they didn't have any money for that budget. They were gonna, yeah, and then you know who the vampire is in that movie that gets the guy to the bar?
No, I know Stephen Dorff.
It's
but...
Tracy Lords,
oh.
Porn star,
oh,
extraordinary. Right. Well,
oh,
and here's the thing: can't find her porn anywhere ever.
Just one.
Just because it's illegal.
There's only one.
She was 16 when she did all that stuff.
Oh, geez.
She lied about her age. So it's not like she
lied about her age and they made all this porn. And then,
oh my gosh.
And then there's only one, I think there's one porn she made over the age of 18, and they had to like pull all of it off the market.
Crazy. Yeah, it was all underage.
Yeah,
but yeah, she's
so go to the club and there's so Nicholas Holt sees all the cheerleaders and the nuns and everything. He's like, oh my god. And then Awkwafina is showing up because she finds the pen that came from the place that I guess Nicholas Holt hangs out at or whatever, gets drinks at. So they all coincide, and then Ben Schwartz brings his whole mob army there, and there's this huge scene where this is where you get exploding.
He's taking
bodies
he takes like a dinner plate and cuts a guy's arms off.
This is so poorly edited.
It's really like, this is what I'm talking about. Like, this is the kind of stuff that drives me crazy. Is
there's a part where Schwartz gets a fork in the neck, and then they cut to him, and he's just standing there. It doesn't even have marks on his neck. And then they cut away and they cut back, and now he's got his hand on his neck. And then they cut back and cut away and cut back again, and he has nothing on his neck, and he's just standing there. Like, it happens like two or three times that it toggles back and forth between him having a massive neck wound and having no neck wound of any kind.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
there was,
because I was like, at first I was like, was it just a guy who looked like him and I was only half paying attention?
No, he got stabbed
because I've already decided this was bad. And and it was like no I was still following.
Yeah, you were in the nitpick all the little details. You were
all pretty big.
If you stab a character in the neck,
no, that's valid. I'm just saying you were looking at every little, every little.
I really
detail.
Wasn't. I kind of felt like I was checked out,
but also
I still stood out.
But I think once a movie, I'm guilty of that. Yeah. Like when a movie does something and you are out,
that's what I'm saying.
Then you're
then
like,
you're paying attention
I'm not
to every line.
Like, yes.
I was just having fun with the ridiculous kills to where like I wasn't paying as much attention to that stuff. I mean, which is valid complaints. I thought it was fun because the absurdity of the kills, it really sets the tone. If you hadn't figured it out already, which we did a little bit back at when they found him at the drug guy thing or whatever, but I enjoyed the heck out of it.
Also, how tall is Nicholas Holt?
I think he's decently tall.
Well, maybe Awkwafina is very short. I don't know.
I think that.
But
could
like
be true.
When
but
they
I think
were standing,
he's probably like 6'2" or something. Okay.
Because when they were standing side by side, I was like, that guy is a giant.
Yeah.
Like, why is he? Where we lost James?
Oh no! Well, R2's here.
Oh good.
Maybe he had to pee.
He must have.
There he is.
Hey.
No, I'm still here. I was checking on my dog because I heard him screaming earlier. I wanted to go check.
Oh, thank you.
But yeah, like he just looked like a giant walking next to her.
Yeah, he's a big guy.
He auditioned for Batman.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, there you go. So this is where he and Awkwafina's character, who also
6'3".
That's
all right. Pretty close.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Is that 6'2"?
That's good.
With his shoes on. So he's 6'3". That's where.
It's got lips.
So this is where those characters. So her last name is Quincy, who's apparently a character from the Dracula novel. So they did a little
clever. Oh, is
clever,
that right?
Okay.
She's
5'1".
Okay, so he would look like
6'3"
a giant.
6'3"
and 5'1". Yeah,
right.
Okay.
Your eyes doth not deceive you.
Yeah, so but the other thing that we talked about last week was the Dungeons and Dragons.
Mario's last week was Mario.
Is
but it makes sense that you would have completely forgotten Mario.
Remember the Olestra
Yes. Yeah. Just prove him a point. Yeah. Next week, you will admit that this was bad. Go on.
I've already admitted that it wasn't good, but I had fun with it. Where
I will accept that it might be a deep fried taco.
I'll give you that one for sure.
But this is not a good movie.
No. Where we talked about Michelle Rodriguez and Chris Pine have this completely, like, totally normal friendship that's not romantic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think they wanted this to be a romantic thing, but to me, it came off as a friendship. It came off as like he was enamored with her because she was not because he was attracted to her, but because she was able to stand up for herself, and that's something that he couldn't do.
I mean, that's true, but I think there definitely was I read it as a romantic.
I think they wanted it to be.
And there might be an hour and 36 minute version of this movie where they are. It wouldn't surprise me. But,
yeah.
But it doesn't need to be.
They leave so many things unresolved at the end.
Right.
That, like, not from like a cliffhanger standpoint, but just from shoddy craftsmanship, but that it would not surprise me.
Yeah,
because okay. Like you said, the meet cute at the beginning
was clearly
like they were enthralled.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
So to speed along, so there's really two more things that happen before the end of the movie. So she ends up finding out, they go to the support group, Dracula is invited. Oh, two things. I like that he had a welcome mat at his house. This was very
that
clever.
I like that. Like, there were some. There,
I appreciate
like,
they stuck to the rules.
Yeah.
It's like, how's Dracula in his house? And he's like, oh, crap. His mat says, welcome, come on in, or whatever.
That's a gag in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the movie.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Like, the reason the vampires can get in is because, like, on the front of the building, it's like, anybody who wants to learn is welcome here.
Oh, okay.
So that's how they gain entrance into the building. I was
And because of your knowledge of that, we're like, man, that's so original.
No, that's like an old vampire, like a vampire.
No, I know
has
that
to be invited.
The cleverness of the
way they exploited that rule.
Can be old man for a second. So back in my day,
hey, they didn't say them's lot.
So that was clever. And he comes in, and he's basically like, what are you doing? You need to, I'm gonna mess you up, like, you have one last chance, get me the people or whatever. So later on we find out that he goes to the support group, Dracula kills all the support group people, explode in crazy ways. He's just totally takes them all.
I didn't like this at all.
Then he killed all the people.
Yeah.
Awkwafina.
The only thing I liked less than this is the fact that then they
bring them all back.
Well, like, either kill them or don't. The ending of this movie should have been Renfield enlisting the help of the support group to attack and win the battle. Like, it should have been like, they all have unique talents that will help them band together and beat the villain.
That would have been a really clever
that should
ending,
have been
for sure.
The ending of this movie. But to kill them all
and then bring them all back,
and then I was like, I don't like that they killed all these people because they're totally innocent people, and it's like, there's none of this is
but
funny.
They only killed them to bring them back,
but then to bring them back just felt like, oh yeah,
well,
that was a
gonna,
bridge too far. Like, either do it or don't.
I think if you're gonna kill them, that's fine, because I will say, the way Nicolas Cage is playing Dracula is he's kind of playing him like a goof. And he's not really that bad of a guy.
Yeah.
So if you want to make him the villain, the hardcore,
and that's why I said either do it or don't.
Right.
But to try and have your cake and eat it too, I did not like that.
But in
that
this
at all.
Movie, see, I agree. I love what you wrote for. I love that. But in this movie, because of the tone of it and the silliness, and then at the support group, because we're jumping way ahead, but they're drinking Dracula blood at the support group, because we see Dracula's blood can heal people.
Also, where did those bodies go? How did they get to those bodies?
Right. This is the type of goofy movie where I don't need explanation.
There's one line.
Yeah, you had to come in with a heavy suspension of disbelief movie to begin with. So
once you realize that's what you're doing, I mean, they set the tone of it, and I'm not questioning things like that, which, again, are valid if you're trying to pick things apart, but it's like, it's just not that movie.
Yeah, right.
Like,
right.
Your Highness, I'm not asking questions. It's just a silly movie.
He's asking for more Natalie Portman.
Always.
See, where I thought they were laying the groundwork for is there's a line in the support group where one of the guys is like, and he can control rats with his mind. And I thought that guy was going to also be from the world of Dracula.
Oh.
And then it's like, he's not crazy. That
that he's been around.
That he was going to be like, I can help you do this. I'm here. I know exactly what's going on, and I can help you.
So the two big action sequences. So Awkwafina sees that all the support group people are dead. Dracula's gone. Obviously, she doesn't believe that Dracula killed them. So she brings in Nicholas Holt. She has him handcuffed. He's, you know, he's not fighting her on it, but he goes with her. And they end up, this is a little bit of the cheap part, because all the cops show up and they're like, hey.
All the cops and all the mob show
up. They want to get Nicholas Holt because they've got him on all the security cameras. They know that he's trying to stop the mob. So the mob is now going after him. Cops all show up. She ends up realizing they're all dirty and like, no, I'm going to bring this guy
every
in.
Cop in the
right. But she shoves in the back of her car.
It is New Orleans.
That's fair.
But she shoves him in the back of her car and escapes them all. And then it's like the next morning, they're just at the apartment. And then she's injured. Like, they skipped over it because they clearly didn't film that scene or didn't have a way to get her out of it. Like a huge chase with the whole police force.
Right.
So they just did. Right. So that's definitely cheap. But she wakes up there. All the cops and like SWAT teams and mob guys are all there at the apartment complex. And you get this crazy multi-level apartment complex.
I thought this was great.
Right. Right.
Yeah. It's, this is a lot of fun.
So much fun with them. It. Yeah. You know, jumping off the balconies and killing the guy.
When he jumps off the balcony and the guy's like leaning over the balcony and he jumps on his back and he splits him in half and like, kind of gives Awkwafina like a thumbs
that
up as he's,
motion,
as he's falling
as he's
down.
Yes,
yeah.
I thought this was
I enjoyed
so much
that
fun.
A lot.
Loved this part of it. And then
when he tears that guy's arms off and he starts
fighting them with the arms. Yeah. So anyway, so that's a really fun.
Like that's some trauma toxic Avengers. And I am here for
that's
it.
What I'm, yeah.
The fact that like that, it, I mean, it is absolutely out of a trauma movie.
Right, but that's
and
the movie
fact
that
it is in like a movie that got put into normal theaters, right? You weren't going to see Toxic Avenger on normal
a movie
screens.
By Universal with their character yeah,
right,
Dracula.
Right.
Yeah,
the fact that there's a Toxic Avenger movie even in the works right now is insane to me.
It just, I mean, everything's getting rebooted.
Yeah, that's
so you've
true.
Got that scene, and then basically he convinces her that they have to team up against the mob. Like, it's she believes him now about Dracula and powers and everything, and so they're going to team up. They go after the mob, who, like, their headquarters, I feel like it's on Main Street. Like, it's just weird the way that their mob headquarters with the gold columns feels like it's just on the street.
It was
next
very
to the
60s Batman.
Yeah,
very much
very
so.
Next
that's
to that,
great. That's great.
Like, right next to the Applebee's, there's the mob headquarters. So anyway, they go there, and then there's another huge action set piece where they end
up. We find out that the mob has now teamed up with Dracula, and Dracula has not only does he have one. I like the idea that Renfield will eat bugs, but of course the mob guy is going to snort it like
a big crawling
centipede. Like
centipede.
But instead of having one familiar, now the entire mob are familiars.
They show up to find Renfield at Dracula's little lair, and then Dracula kills all the guys except for Ben Schwartz, and is like, wait a minute, and realizes he can use him and his army, his mob army.
I gotta tell you, that guy's mother, her voice creeps me out.
She's a great voice for
She's got a great voice, but yikes.
I feel like it's getting raspier as she gets older.
Wasn't she in an X-Men movie?
Yeah.
I thought she was in Ms. Marvel. Wasn't she the bad guy in Ms. Marvel?
Oh.
She was in X-Men The Last Stand.
She was in the
Expanse?
The Expanse? That's a show, right?
There's a show, yeah.
The Expanse. She's on that.
I only saw Existence with Jude Law.
And he bought those pills, Extends.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, those are different.
So you have to get
but
those.
She was on 24.
So I never watched 24.
Oh, okay. It was good at the beginning.
Okay.
Like the first few seasons were really good.
The first 3 hours
that,
of the day.
Alicia Cuthbert was
yes,
the daughter.
Yes, it is.
And then
Girl Next Door.
She's also in a really good movie called House of Sand and Fog.
Hmm.
It's kind of a gut punch of a movie, but it's really good. It's got Jennifer Connelly in it.
Hey, now.
Yeah.
Alicia Cuthbert, Jennifer Connelly, sold.
There you go. Oh, she's only a 7, Joe.
Who?
Jennifer Connelly. Didn't you see the discourse?
Who said she's a 7?
I know, right? Well, the entire internet's not happy about it. Some bozo that said, you know, look at actors today.
Jennifer Connelly is a 44.
I know, and everyone's like, she's a 12 on a 10
Good
on a bad
Lord.
Day. Yeah. But anyway.
Go watch The Rocketeer and tell me she's a 7.
No, everyone told him that he's wrong. Like, it's opinions, but you're wrong.
Yeah.
So there's this huge sound. Dracula has now teamed up with the mob and turned all them into, and they've all got powers. And it's just a big fight.
Yeah. But my favorite part of the end is, earlier in the movie, we're told about a shield circle, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I just got to point this out. I'm scrolling through that actress's.
What's her name?
I don't remember.
Oh, sorry. I thought you had.
It's she's not Ms. Marvel. That was Nimra Buka. I was thinking of Ms. Marvel, so I was not her, but they have a very similar voice.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Shohreh Aghadashloo.
Oh, there
so
you go.
I hope
You're
I said that right.
Him say that.
I didn't know.
But you were talking about her voice.
Yeah.
And she's the voice of Gozer in Ghostbusters.
Oh my God, that's so good. Yeah, that's great.
The protection circle.
The protection circle, yeah. Basically. And I do like, so at the end of this, they make another protection circle. And I appreciate that they didn't. She's like, I looked it up on the Wiccan Reddit.
Right,
and
it's
I
like,
found
how
it.
Would you know how to say the words? Or
right,
whatever.
Right. Yeah, and I, so the, this protection circle is, you know, and he goes, is that cocaine? And he goes, she goes, apparently any powder works.
Yeah,
and correct. Like that line got me. Like I was like, that's really, I like that.
I thought it was funny. And I thought it worked perfectly with like, what would be the modern day equivalent of some crazy spell book? It's like, yeah, Wiccan Reddit
Wiccan
or whatever.
Reddit,
yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
the subreddit for
Wikipedia,
Wiccan.
Whatever. Yeah.
So they capture him. And of course now.
And they beat the crap. So we
they
see
chop
that
him up
the and... mob boss has this torture lair that we see in the beginning of the movie. And that's where they end up for the final scene. They're like, all right. And they just start demolishing.
Yeah. They
Dracula.
Chop him up into like, you know, they
put him in ice cubes,
put him in ice cubes,
up,
chop him up. They
throw
do
him
all kinds
in the
of stuff.
Sewer.
So, and that's how this, and then yeah. Of course,
the, and they're like, we don't know if this will kill him for good. Dracula's hard to kill.
Depends on how much money this movie makes.
That's right. Exactly right.
Oh, it might kill him for good.
Kill him for good.
But it's gonna, but it's gonna take a long time for him to heal because we saw when he got burned, it took him 90 years to heal
right,
or whatever.
Right.
So
we could bring. So the end of the movie is they go back to the support group, and I think my favorite part of this ending sequence is the guy who leaves the group, and he was like, "Sometimes you see things you can't unsee, and
yeah.
You hear things, and you know things that you can't unknow." Yeah. And the gal Awkwafina's like, "You think he's okay?" And he was like, "I don't know."
I thought that guy was really funny.
I think that guy is really funny. Do you know my favorite lore of Dracula?
No.
Did you ever see Dracula 2000?
Sure. Johnny Lee Miller.
Yes.
Hack the Planet.
Okay, but that's the one with Gerard Butler, right?
Yeah, he's Dracula, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like but that Dracula is Judas?
Yeah, that's yes. Right. You've mentioned
that he's allergic to silver because of the silver pieces. Mm. That's why the cross affects him the
that's
way that
a cool
it does.
Mythology, yeah.
And I was like, of all of the Dracula mythologies, like that's kind of dope. Like the idea that they went all the way back to and that God was pissed off at Judas to because of what he did.
Because it's 2000, man. It was rad.
I don't even think that was I think that was even earlier than 2000. The other sequels,
I think it came out,
it came out like 1998
or something. Yeah,
1989.
Very
yeah.
Close.
Like, hey man, 2000's right around the corner. Let's put another title. Jennifer Esposito is in that movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
With Omar Epps as well.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Just be glad they didn't call it Dracula Y2K.
You know they wanted it. You know they did.
That movie was made back in the 1900s, though. So
yeah,
you know.
It's pretty old.
Outstanding callback. Yeah, I think this. Look, I don't disagree with you, Tom. This is not a good movie.
Like, none of this worked for me.
I totally understand that.
I just don't think it's bad because I do feel like it is exactly what it set out to do. It's not a great film,
it
no,
set out to
but
be
it's
funny.
A,
but
it this is the epitome of a deep fried taco.
It's like a deep fried taco.
Yeah, this is a very very.
I will accept it as a deep fried.
It is a perfectly deep fried taco.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. It's not overcooked. It's got the right amount of meat in it. A little bit of cheese.
But aren't deep fried tacos movies that set out to be good and end up being deep fried tacos?
This movie absolutely set out to be good.
I think they were trying to make a good movie.
I do. I think they were trying to make
a tongue-in-cheek movie, but yeah. But it just did not work for me.
Yeah, that's so. What this is. So there you go.
I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at joeybutts BUTTS21.
Do you have a letterbox?
Oh, I do have a letterbox, also by the same name, at Joey Butts, B-U-T-T. I actually am getting a bunch of followers, which is kind of fun.
Every week, I start going, and he goes, also, I have a letterbox, and then I'm waiting for it.
I completely forgot about it.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter, at Kevin R. Brackett.
And James, where can they find you and your wares?
James Enstone, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram, at Geek2Me Radio, and we do a live radio show every Sunday night, 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Pacific. You can stream that on KTRS.com or follow us on YouTube and Facebook. You can stream it there when we do video.
Awesome. And you can find me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Dracula is blasted with a solar energy machine. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice because we already warned you. Better watch out. It's going to ruin the plot.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.